Hello and welcome to Golska, the Polish football podcast. I'm Daniel and I'm joined by Kuba, of course, to discuss the hiring of Fernando Santos as the head coach of the Polish national team. Let's jump right in.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going.
It's been a bit.
Long time, no talk.
Yeah, we've had a few of those. Well, hopefully less now that we're past the holidays and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, well, I got a little excited when you mentioned that you wanted to record last week, but it didn't work out because what was it, Thursday? Ekstraklasa came back.
Yeah, I don't remember if the first games were Thursday or Friday. And we're not gonna talk about Ekstraklasa too much, but it's maybe in the next episode we'll do a circle back on the spring and kind of
I'll be okay as of right now if we don't talk about Ekstraklasa because Lech Gdańsk is no longer in regulation territory. They're 3 points
really?
Out of it.
Yeah. The Ekstraklasa has really opened up for Raków. I'd be shocked if they lost at this point now. I think they drew their last game, but they're 7 points ahead of Legia.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I'm excited for the spring because it's always a little bit more interesting, and I don't know. I'll be watching more closely. So.
Yeah, I started paying attention a little bit more, especially after I saw that Lech Gdańsk is out of the regulation territory, and I started getting a little more sad. Mm-hmm. I got so excited because I don't know if I mentioned this after I came back from Poland, how my cousin, as a joke, gave me the Lech Gdańsk cup.
No, didn't.
Oh, yeah. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Still have it in my kitchen. Yeah, because in 2021, when I went to Poland, I asked my cousin, like, oh, how's Lech Gdańsk doing? Does anybody know about Arka Gdyniak? This was before we were doing the podcast. And my cousin was making fun of me about Arka Gdyniak not being in the Ekstraklasa.
Yeah.
So this year when we did the cousin reunion, when we showed up to the reunion, he brought me this cup as a joke.
And so you have family that are Lekak fans?
Yeah, because they... my dad has 5 other siblings and... most of them are spread out around the Gdańsk-Gdynia region. And then we got a couple way out in Szczecin. But because my dad's like the second youngest in the family. So like those cousins, they grew up in Gdańsk.
Yeah.
So like they're diehard Lech Gdańsk fans. And so, yeah, this cousin reunion, he gave me that cup as like spite. And I laughed at him because at the time they were in regulation territory. And he was like, I know this isn't as funny as it should have been, but
you should, do is you should keep it in your car for road trips. And then if you ever have to go to the bathroom, you don't even need to pull over.
Right. That's like, I thought about it. I was telling him like, how the hell do you expect me to bring this back to America with pride? But then I found out my brother is a Lech Gdańsk fan because he doesn't pay attention to Ekstraklasa at all or Polish soccer at all. But when he did, or like he would hear anything, that's when Lech Gdańsk was like on the top or like one of the best teams. Yeah. So like he was like a bandwagon jumper essentially.
Sure.
So I was like, I just think, yeah, this one's yours. But
yeah.
Yeah. So now I don't really care about Ekstraklasa because they're out of regulation territory. No, but.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like Raków. I feel so confident about the rest of them. I just have no idea. I don't know what Lech's gonna do with when do they play again in Europe? Oh, okay, February 16th. Man, that's so soon. Oh gosh,
it is. Well, yeah, let's talk about this Fernando Santos guy.
Yeah, let's jump into it. I don't think we'll talk super long, but I mean, the whole process for getting a coach was messy, and there was some fake news out there, and I just decided let's do a who is Fernando Santos and just learn who he is, because I mean, he's like a guy I'd like look at and be like, I recognize him from somewhere, but like not a super well-known coach, you know, where some of the other guys I'd actually known of before. But Paulo Bento was who was originally reported. And I'm trying to think of when and who first was like, oh, it's going to be Paulo Bento. But it was some Polish media and they were wrong.
Well, was it probably money wise? Couldn't get them or?
No, I don't know what happened. It was like maybe a bad leak or someone was like, oh, a Portuguese guy. And someone just assumed it was Paul. I have no idea. I think that they were actually very close to taking Paulo Bento. But they ended up with Santos instead. I probably tweeted the original. If I look back,
yeah, because I don't know much about both of these guys. The main thing I wanted to comment on, you have it on the bottom of the agenda. I was like, why they went with Santos instead of Bento, and why was Mikhnevich fired? And
mm-hmm.
How you said once again, it's on the bottom, so if we're skipping over a lot of stuff. How you said like, how is he different from Mikhnevich? Like, why do they fire him, and how'd you say it? Did this move make sense, or did we just fire Mikhnevich to get our a deal candidate?
Right.
So it seemed like if it was Bento or maybe somebody else, was like, oh yeah, like we might have the hook on this guy, so buy Mikhnevich.
Yeah, like, we can get him, and then we don't.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I believe that's pretty much what it is.
And like, I don't know if you told me 3 months ago, like, oh, you might not know who he is, but we're going to have the guy who coaches Portugal be our coach after the World Cup. I would be like, okay, you know, I'm not like a huge fan of Mikhnevich, and like that sounds cool. Like it's good to make a step up, but yeah, just the whole thing seems off. Like you fire Mikhnevich, whether it's on the field performance stuff or off the field politics, you end up with a guy whose style isn't that different and has a good resume, but he's not Polish. I don't think he's going to revolutionize the team. I don't think we're winning Euro with him or anything like that. But he might be able to do some stuff to improve the squad, and he seems willing to make hard decisions.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like maybe they were reaching for someone else and they couldn't get that person. And they were like, well, that didn't work. Let's just play it safe and, you know, be done with it.
Yeah. I knew Mikhnevich was going to get done. I forgot who was our guest when we talked about it. Pavel. Yeah. And both of you thought that he actually might stay along because he technically did reach all his goals or whatever that he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, but I was like, yeah, I knew he was.
He did meet all the expectations, but it seemed pretty clear that regardless of on the field, like wins and losses and what we did at the World Cup, regardless of that, the decisions that were being made really pointed to he's not going to be around much longer. Yeah. Because when you don't renew a person's contract, but you don't fire them,
I feel you like know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're just like slow rolling the firing instead of just saying, okay, we're done with them, you know? I don't know why Kulesa did that, but he did, so.
I don't know what the media was saying about Mikhnevich after he got let go, but I'm pretty sure it's off the field, all politics. Because yeah. I believe it was either you or Pavel, how you guys were mentioning it, like, you know, back in the day, his scandal that he had.
The corruption stuff back in the 2000s when he was
like, got brought Bozeman. Up. Like, it was very close to the World Cup. It got brought back up. And
yeah, in like August or something, it was back in headlines for some reason. And I don't even know why, but yeah. And so, then there was the whole talking to the prime minister thing about payouts and It just got to like a lot of finger pointing. It's like, honestly, it just seems like Mitnevich and Kulesa didn't get along and they weren't a great pair. And Kulesa likes to be involved.
Yeah. And then there was that whole like, was it, you mentioned it, Lewandowski. It was either pretty much him or Mitnevich, stuff like that. So they probably used that as a good excuse to get rid of him.
Yeah.
It was like,
but look at, if you look at Santos, like he sat Ronaldo. If Lewandowski isn't, say in a couple of years and Santos is still coach and Lewandowski's not performing as well, you know, it's possible that Lewandowski's playing in the MLS in 2 years.
Yeah.
So say he has an injury or just isn't performing as well, isn't as in as competitive of a league. Like, what happens if Santos benches him? Because he's clearly the type of guy who's not afraid to bench a has-been. Right, a has-been superstar.
Yeah.
So if Levy turns into that, then it could just be a real awkward situation. I'm totally talking hypotheticals, but like,
it has to be like behind the scenes, something that so behind the scenes that we can't even see or even gets reported on. Because how the Santos benched Ronaldo and the dude who replaced him still scored a hat trick and the dude still gets fired.
Right.
Stuff like that. And then, because imagine if Mikhnevich benched Lewandowski.
Right.
During the World Cup. Like, that would have been an outcry. But the only reason is that because Poland doesn't have anybody to even compare to Lewandowski right now.
Right. Well, right. Yeah, exactly. There's literally no one. There's no guy coming off the bench scoring a hat trick. It's not possible. But I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe people thought Portugal should have been better in the World Cup.
And I'm glad they weren't. But that's
I mean, they lost to Morocco in the quarterfinals. Like, they made it to the quarterfinals. I think that that's pretty. Like, anyone that was saying Portugal's going to win the World Cup, I think that's a little insane. I think that you look at that squad and you say there's a good amount of depth. They've got some really strong players. And Ronaldo is not his old self and he's really struggling and he's not in a good place. And, you know, they should make it out of their group and they might make it through a game or two in the knockout stage, but they're not winning the final, you know?
No. Yeah. I imagine them going far, but not all the way.
Yeah.
Further than I already Poland. Thought the quarterfinals was a little bit too far, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, they smashed Switzerland and I don't know, Morocco's Morocco took out Spain. So
yeah,
they're nothing to scoff at.
Pretty sure half the world was probably rooting for Morocco at that
point. Well, they also beat Belgium too. Yeah. They won their group because they drew Croatia, beat Belgium. You know, it's Morocco beating Portugal is, in my mind, no surprise based on how they performed in the tournament.
Yep.
And clearly they were just the most
in my bracket.
Yeah. Right. They were just the most frustrating team for anyone to play. It seems like
no one expected it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just, so back to Santos, I think we should just kind of talk about his background and then kind of his style, because I think, you know, people are going to be very curious about, all right, how is the Poland squad going to come out different under Santos than it did with Mitnevich? So he's Portuguese, obviously. He played for Estoril, which I don't know. Estoril, they're a small Portuguese club. And then Maritimo, which is a bigger club in Portugal. In the 70s and 80s, he was a player and he played defense. So that'll tell you something about kind of how he is approached to soccer, I think. But yeah, he played defense in Portugal. He had a pretty normal length career. Playing in the 70s and 80s means he's really old. So yep. I think he's like,
he is 68.
Yeah, he's 68. So he coaches for Poland for 2 years and he's 70. That's That's pretty old. but he's got a long coaching career. So he started in the 80s with Estoril, his main club as a player, bounced around a little bit, coached for 3 years at Porto, which is of course one of the biggest clubs in Portugal, and then AEK Athens and Panathinaikos. So he's got a Greek connection. Went back, coached Sporting in Portugal, back to AEK Athens, and then Benfica in Portugal, and then PAOK in Greece. And then he coached the Greek national team, and then back to Portugal to coach the Portuguese national team. So tons of experience in Portugal and Greece, basically. And then, of course, now he's in Poland, which is a little bit different of a style, in my opinion. He's got a couple trophies under his belt. He led Greece to their first ever knockout in World Cup. So that's a pretty good feat. And then with Portugal, won the 2018-2019 UEFA Nations League, won the, I don't know why I didn't mention the 2016 Euro first, because that seems like a bigger deal. So he won the 2016 Euro, of course, with that really awesome Portuguese team. And then made it to round of 16 in Euro 2020. They lost to Belgium. So more success earlier on as the Portugal coach than in the later years. But I think Portugal's kind of transitioning to new blood right now. So I don't think that that's a big surprise. But obviously, I think for a lot of reasons, it's an interesting time for him to come on as the Poland coach. And the idea would be he's hopefully here for a good Euro run and you know, probably finishes out his time as Poland coach following the next World Cup. That would be 4 or 5 years, and that's pretty typical for a successful coach. So again, that's all assuming he's successful as Poland's coach.
Yeah. Well, Chris, but even with successful coaches in Poland, they don't last long for some reason.
Yeah. But yeah. I think
most recent example, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think a lot of it's going to depend on his relationship with Gleza. And, I don't know if what you saw from his interview when he first was in Warsaw and was talking with the media. But I think that he's very, very conscious of how people perceive him. So a couple things I thought that was interesting was he said he's targeting group stages of the Euros and then they're going to keep going basically. So qualify for Euros. And then hopefully make it to knockout rounds is the target. He also said he's basically fully bought into Poland. So he said he's Polish now, which, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, that was on his Instagram, the Polish team's Instagram page. Yeah. I'm Polish now.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Polish folks like to set a high bar for themselves and what it means to be Polish. So, I wonder if you did a poll, how many people would be like, we only want Polish coaches for the Polish national team. You know, it's like pretty nationally focused country, but yeah, regardless,
Polish people would say we only want Polish coaches, but I'm pretty sure that's like the downfall of the Polish team if that was the case, because we had a lot of Polish coaches. Couple of them did okay, yeah. But otherwise not, like, they were not good. Polish coaches are not successful. And I mean, pretty much, what was it in the recent times, the one non-Polish guy was Ben Hacker.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he didn't do bad, but he didn't do good.
Sosa.
I forgot about him. I totally forgot
about him. How do you forget about him? I feel like you forget about him a lot.
I do. He would never even come up in my mind.
That's funny.
I'm trying to find what, if anybody reported what his, like, criteria or, like, contract requirements are Like if it is make the Euro Cup or get out of the group stages in the Euro Cup.
Oh, I think if they don't qualify for Euro, he's on a plane. Be immediately, yeah. No, absolutely.
Well, yeah, because in the last three Euro Cups, it's kind of a norm that Poland's at least going to make it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
so no, I don't know, I think it's very clear that is a requirement for the job.
Yeah.
But not even necessarily the expectation. It's like that is bare minimum requirement.
Yep.
That's get to the group one. Stages and perform well. If you pull if you pull the group of death in the Euro and don't have a great time, maybe it's not the end of things, but
yeah.
You still got to do well in the group stage. So yeah, we'll see. I know he's living in Poland, so I think that's good. He's going to have a lot of work to do to get to know the team. And especially, I think one of the things that Mikniewicz had going for him was experience with the youth team.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how important bringing in, you know, good youth is as the national team coach. And so this has got to get his arms wrapped around the Polish youth system and really start building a list of guys that he can call up. And I think that's hard to do anywhere, but I think especially in Poland, that's a hard job.
I'll give it to Mikniewicz because he did put a lot of young guys on the spotlight.
Well, and he coached them all.
Yeah.
Because he was, youth national team. I think, like that was one of the things that made a lot of sense about Mikniewicz, but.
Bringing the biggest signings of Polish people, not necessarily when they were playing for the Polish clubs, but Kaminski going to Wolfsburg for a lot of money. Now the best one, Kivior, super young guy going to the Premier League and crap ton of money, stuff like that. Is
25
cash, and young guys, they were on a spotlight. And I will give that to Mikniewicz. He put Slavsky. Him in the spot of the young guys.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, I think, not only do we have a few young guys moving out of Ekstraklasa to Serie A, Premier League, Germany, wherever, but some guys moving from Serie A to England. And, and maybe they aren't overall the best guy to be in that position, but that experience on the field is priceless. Yeah. And so you gotta give them opportunities. So hopefully in Euro qualifying, when we're playing teams that are frankly garbage, aren't we in the same group as the Faroe Islands or something?
Yes.
Yeah. So things like that, you know, those are hopefully opportunities where Lev plays for 45 minutes, scores a couple goals, and then it's like, all right, get off the field while you're healthy. Yeah.
but that has also been pretty much one of the downfalls for Poland is all our good players are so far away, and the coaches, when it comes back to calling back the international team, got good players, but for some reason they were never able to, when it came back to calling back for the international team, to get them to play together.
Yeah. Well, I think that is my biggest concern. You know, people complain about Major League Soccer quality. That's not my concern with a bunch of Polish guys playing at Charlotte or wherever they're playing. It's that. So if they're the best player in their position, that means they need to be flying back to Europe for European games every international break.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one thing to fly from Spain or Italy to Poland. It's a whole other thing to fly from the U.S. So I think Major League Soccer tends to be pretty willing to let the players leave. We're like, English Premier League is just like, nope. Chelsea, no.
Yeah.
We are not letting you leave. You play for Chelsea. We are going to finish fifth place in the league this year, damn it.
Barely.
Right. You know. So, I think that'll be a challenge for him, but also any other Polish coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the challenge, is getting all these players back and managing like a cohesion or like having them play together. Because, you got one superstar, Lewandowski, hopefully Kaminsky is going to be a superstar too, because he's playing in Germany. So, and he's doing good in Germany. Mm-hmm. He's maybe not a lot of goals, but he's been assisting very well. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. He's been a valuable player in Germany. Kiewier, we'll see how he goes in Arsenal. But they paid a lot of money for him, so hopefully. But like, yeah, maybe the Polish players who are outside of Poland are maybe not superstars, but they're still good. And you would maybe hope that when they come back to the international teams, they would be good. But that was always the problem. It was like, had all these players coming back who don't play together, they have a different expectation, and the coach has never been able to get that like cohesion for the team when all the players come in.
Right. Well, I think that gets at like how many Polish players do we ever have that are playing an extra class so that make the national team squad?
Very little.
Yeah. It's usually zero. So
yeah,
maybe it's a couple sometimes.
Yeah. Cause if you look at freaking Germany's team or Portugal's team or England's team, or they all,
Croatia even.
Yeah, they're either stay in the country, damn near at least two or three of them playing on the same damn team. I don't know about this year, but Germany's team was always pretty much Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich was always damn near Germany's national team, except for a couple of players.
So
that was always one of Poland's biggest problems, is trying to get all the players back. And they're used to playing with other good ass players. And technically, the Polish team, everybody was always used to playing with their set teams, but they could never combine and come back with each other.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
And I think that's going to be Santos's biggest problem, just like every other coach of Poland.
Right. Well, yeah. And again, the more you understand the youth and what the future of the team could look like, the better off you're going to be. So that's going to be hard. But I want to talk about like his style, because I think he definitely has a style and a system he likes that he alternates through or adjusts depending on the players. But so we talked, he played defense. So that's his experience as a player. And all his teams play in a pretty defensive approach. And I think in that way, he might be a lot like Mikniewicz. It'll be interesting to see if his approach to defense will maybe be more on developing players in the defense, because we have a lot of weakness in the back, than it is just, oh, we're going to play with eight guys in the box at all times, you know? But he does play defensively. I don't think it, from what I've heard, it doesn't sound like he'll be playing with one up top like Mikniewicz did with Lewandowski. It might be more like a 4-4-2 formation on a regular basis, but he's explicitly said, so for all those people who complain about Mikniewicz and ugly football, he's explicitly said that he'd rather play ugly football in a tournament than pretty football at home. So it's like, if it's getting you to a tournament, then you should be playing it, even if it's ugly. So that's what he likes. That's his approach. I think that there will be some adjustments, and probably adjustments that people like having a second forward up the field or something like that. But overall, the approach is not going to be that different, basically. Yeah.
He would have been great for that. But like,
I'm sure it goes back. Like, I don't know when he said it. I just read it somewhere.
I believe Mikniewicz's formation, the 4-4-2 formations with Mikniewicz were like the best ones when Lewandowski wasn't alone.
Yeah, but we would play like that against weaker sides, and with stronger sides, we would always play with just the one striker up top. So it feels like every time we play with two forwards that the game is so much better and we're so much more open and everything's more positive. But in a lot of ways, I think it's just who we were playing when we were lining up that way.
Well, that's why, and the games that we did play that way, I think that was like one thing I hated about Mikniewicz, is because like those games that we played besides the one against France. I don't remember the formation for that one, but it was just like the games that we played where it was like, oh, we're good, but yet we still lost. Yeah. Were against teams that we should have won against.
Mm.
And yeah. I do like the fact that Santos is defensive minded, because yeah, that is our weakest part.
It is. Yeah. And I right, like I said, I think defensive mindedness is not a bad thing if we are developing players that are more reliable on defense. Like Kivior did really well in the World Cup. He made some dumb mistakes though. And Arsenal are clearly willing to look past it, and he'll ride the bench and probably get some starts on occasion. And you know what? If he does 95% of what he did at the World Cup and just stops making those dumb mistakes where for what, like he literally did the same thing like three games in a row where he made a bad pass. If he just stops doing that, like, dude, you just went from fine to great. Premier League start. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, you can be, maybe you're not starting for Arsenal, but like you're starting at a Brighton on loan or something like that. So,
yeah.
So I think it'll be interesting because Santos is very discipline focused. He wants players to be running a system. And I think when you don't have that much, frankly, you don't have that much raw talent in Poland, perhaps focusing on discipline and playing a system well and not making mistakes is where you can shine. So, you know, if we can turn ourselves into that, then that's probably the path forward for Poland doing really well in the Euro, at least.
Where
it goes from there.
Yeah, if he's disciplined, but I hope he's not too disciplined, where like you got pretty much your starters making the mistakes, so he punishes them by putting them on the bench or whatever, replaces them, and then the next guy does mistakes, and then he punishes them, put them on the bench, and like how many players can you do that to though till you run out? So hopefully he doesn't go too far, and I really hope he doesn't overcorrect on mistakes like Michniewicz did, because he did that a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, and I mean, I hope well for him, obviously, but he does have a good career. I mean, looking at his track record, the guy has technically an over 500 winning percentage, so over 50% winning percentage, barely, but
yeah,
he still has won technically more than 50% of the games he coached. So, like, I mean, he's a good guy.
Yeah, and he's been. Generally, he's been with bigger name clubs, and I think he's been with them and countries. You know, it's not like he's coaching a huge country, but he, you know, to one very good, respectable soccer country and another that, you know, is an occasional World Cup maker. And I think there's something to that. And like clearly he's been recognized for his talent. He coached the Portugal national team for like 8 years or something. You know, that's a long time to have the trust of an association. So, you know, I mean, he's old. He's what, 68, we said.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that we can find someone who can coach the Polish team for 4 years at least. Like to get to 4 years would be good because you see two tournaments, and it's always better to start fresh right after a World Cup than it is to be pulling in a new coach who you are having to make some guesses about and who is going to be much more limited in squad selection, stuff like that, 6 months before a World Cup, like we did with Michniewicz. So,
yeah, we'll see. I think the fact that the Nations League exists, that might help out a lot too, because you get more time with the team.
Yeah, and it's meaningful time. It's not just random friendlies that half your squad isn't going to travel for.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll do well. I mean, technically, he does have a pretty easy group for the Euros.
Yeah.
So the Czechs, Albania, Faroe, and Moldova.
Yeah. I think Albania and Moldova could both I don't know about Moldova. I don't know. Yeah, but Albania, I mean, they're not terrible. Like we had a hard game when we went on the road to Albania.
Yeah. I mean, they're not somebody to take it easy with.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to have your starting 11 against.
I mean, they're not good. Well, amazing, but they're not somebody you should underestimate.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he is close to Mihnevich, but I hope he doesn't make the same mistakes that Mihnevich did. Because, my biggest problems with him is he did overcorrect a lot.
Well, and I think he's got to focus on keeping the people around him happy with the media, not getting trapped into weird nonsense, because that just always seems to happen with Polish media. And so I think, you know, keeping a healthy locker room, keeping a good relationship with Gleza and I think that he did do a good job in that first interview, where he was presented. So
yeah, him being defensive minded probably didn't roll very well with Lewandowski, but I don't see Lewandowski staying past the Euro Cup, even if actually that, because he'll be what, 37, 38?
Yeah.
At the Euro Cup?
Yeah.
So, his influence is still pretty important, but at the same time, like, how important is it? Mm-hmm. I love Lewandowski. He's great, but, yeah, it's his time. And once he leaves, we are going to get another superstar. Is it going to be Lewandowski's level? Probably not, but I mean, Kerensky's doing pretty damn good.
Yeah. So he'll be 36 for Euro and then 38 by next World Cup. I don't think that's happening.
Chris, the dude said the last, either the last Euro Cup or the last World Cup, he was already threatening like retirement from the national team.
Yeah.
And he came back for the World Cup.
Yeah. Well, and who knows what he's doing on the club level in 2 years? You know,
the way he's been playing for Barcelona, I can't see him being there for very long. I mean, he's not doing bad, but he ain't doing good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's been fine. I think anyone that would have expected more is crazy, but
no Ballon d'Or for him.
No.
Yeah, he's not even in the
top five.
Not even in like the top selections.
Yeah,
but yeah, 11. Yeah, I hope that Santos knows that too, that he won't really try to focus around Lewandowski.
Well, no, I think if the Ronaldo affair is representative in any way.
No.
And it's like sad because Lewandowski's the GOAT, man, you know?
He is.
But like when you're making coaching decisions, you're not thinking about right now. You're thinking about years from now and the biggest tournaments and all that kind of stuff. So.
And if Lewandowski is a drama queen, he definitely keeps that on the down low and very internal.
Yeah, but he was also willing to criticize Mihnevich, not necessarily saying Mihnevich's name even, but talking about his frustrations with the approach to some of those matches and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I'm indifferent about those him criticizing him because
just saying what everyone else is thinking. Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, I'll criticize Mihnevich, but like from him, to play forward minded. Nah, unless you know, Lewandowski wasn't playing for Bayern or Barcelona at the time. It was like the Polish team is not good enough to assist Lewandowski. And that was like the thing. And that's why Lewandowski had his first goal in the World Cup this year.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's like the main stuff I wanted to talk about with Santos. And now that Extra Class is back, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. And I talked about doing a winter transfer window podcast once that's over. So we'll be a couple of weeks late probably on covering it, but that's okay. But it technically ends like next week. So I did want to mention. So I did a Twitter poll, as I like to do sometimes. And the question was, are you happy with Fernando Santos's appointment? And 42% said yes, 32% said no, and 26% said unsure. So just like a lot of mixed opinions. It's kind of funny, like, oh, okay. Nothing overwhelming. I was surprised as many people said yes. There were a couple people who said who had some comments. So Extra Class of Exports, which is a newer account that kind of does like news articles. I don't know the guy's name. I've never talked to him, but he talks a lot about Polish soccer. So he said Santos will bring far less drama than his predecessor, which at the moment is probably the standout reason for me why he's a solid choice. So I can respect that, kind of what we said. Andrew, who we know, he joined us for Mexico discussions because he's a Mexico fan as well, said that he's a European champion and Nations League champion. So while his performances at the World Cup haven't been ideal, he still has more pedigree than any manager we've had in recent memory, the best hire Poland could make given the pool of available managers. Patrick Szmiatanka, who we've had on, said at face value, I think Santos is a good acquisition because of how successful he's been with Portugal. Yes, Portugal are far better in terms of quality than Poland, but he could bring a whole different mentality to our squad going forward. And then Pavel said he's not happy at all, but we have to give him a chance before we judge. And Pavel is a big Gnevich fan, so I understand that. But yeah, I don't know. I think in a lot of ways, it's just like you can be as angry or as happy as you want, but it all comes down to performance. And so I just hope it's not one of those. Like, I'd much rather go through a managerial firing than on a coach that's a little bit controversial than keep around someone who no supporters like.
Yeah.
Just because, which like that happens a lot. So, or firing someone that's really well liked. So, you know, there's worse things that can happen. And you know, it's hard to be too bummed out with the situation, and it's hard to be super pumped, you know, for Santos.
Yeah.
We just got to
get too excited and you can't get too mad yet.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Yep.
Yeah. But I don't.
We'll have plenty of opportunities to judge him after he's actually coached the team. So,
yeah. And if you want a good judgment about the coach, I would say stay away from Polish media because they're very critical.
Yeah.
Very critical.
Yep. Absolutely. So, I think he knows that again. Yeah. The whole like I'm moving to Warsaw. I'm Polish now. Things like that. It's like, he knows the job. Someone's coaching him well. So
yeah. Well, good luck to the dude. Hopefully he does well. I'm rooting for him because I want my
team to do absolutely. Well.
Mm-hmm. So good resume. And there's nothing really to complain about him until we see how he does with Poland.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
At the same time, if you're open-minded, you got to take it with a grain of salt because, like, once again, it's still Poland.
Yeah. He's only able to do with the players he's got. You know, it's not like he can go make any crazy signings or anything you might think that, oh, this guy should be starting instead of this guy, but it's not like there are other guys, you know, out there that we can go acquire or anything like that. So we're stuck with who we got, and that's why youth development is a big deal. But I don't know. Any other concluding thoughts?
Not really.
All right.
I aired my dirty laundry.
Yeah, we both did. Okay, man. Well.
Yeah, good seeing you. But yeah, otherwise, I can't wait till we start talking about Extra Klasa.
Yeah, it'll be good. I always like this time of year. It's just so interesting. Every game actually matters. All right, man. Cheers.
Nice talking with you. Have a good Sunday. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, see ya.
Peace.
That concludes today's episode of Golska. Thank you for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, give us 5 stars wherever you're listening. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And follow us on Twitter to keep up with the latest Polish football news and our future plans for new episodes.